Good evening, and a warm word of welcome to our midweek Bible study meeting. And tonight it is a form of a deputation meeting. We are delighted you're joining with us this evening, wherever you be in the land or even further afield. We do extend to you that warm word of welcome, and we do pray that the Lord will bless you and even encourage you tonight, not only through the word being preached, but indeed through the report that our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, will bring. We are delighted to have him with us this evening, and he's going to be coming to speak to us in just a little while. Just a few announcements to bring to you at the beginning of our meeting this evening. Firstly, once again, can we remind you of the Presbytery Day of Prayer this Saturday, the 31st of January. And there are those two sessions set aside once again, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And if you are able to join in, we certainly do encourage you to do so. If you go to the Free Presbyterian Facebook page, there will be links there for you to register, and then the details for those Zoom meetings will be sent to you via email. And if you are unable to join in those prayer times, then we do encourage you to spend time in your own home, even either alone or else with your family, and be praying much in these times for the land, for the needs of it, the spiritual and the medical, the physical needs that there are. And let us be praying earnestly unto the Lord that he will draw near and that he will intervene even in our land in these days. We do as well remind you of the services on Sunday, 11:30 and 7 p.m. Both of those will be online on our YouTube page. And I'll be here in the will of the Lord to minister at both of those services. Can we continue to ask you to remember in prayer those that are sick in these days? As we brought to your attention on Sunday, to add to the list, Mr. William Gibson, do continue to pray for him. He has picked up a little, even throughout the week already, and we're thankful to the Lord for that, but do continue to remember his need in your prayers. And also for our sister, Mrs. Hazel Morrison. She was taken into hospital on Tuesday, just yesterday, and she's had angina, and they're doing other tests at the minute on her as well. And certainly do pray for her. She needs much prayer in these days, and we do commend her to your prayers, and even her husband Ivan, and the family circle as well, that the Lord would be gracious even to them, would strengthen her, and even soon should be able to come home once again to her own home. Those are all of the announcements this evening. We're going to commence our service with the singing of our brother Stephen Greer. We're thankful to him for sending us this recorded piece, and he's going to sing to us just now.
Thank you.
I want to thank our brother Stephen for ministering in song to us. It's our prayer that the Lord will richly bless even that peace to each and to every heart. We're going to commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord even now in a word of prayer. And I encourage you even at home to join with me in prayer. And let's unite our hearts together as we seek the Lord's blessing upon our time this evening. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we come into thy most holy presence in and through that all-prevailing and precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And O God in heaven, we are so thankful for the acceptance which we have in the Beloved. We are so thankful, O God, this night for our standing in Christ. Lord, we do rejoice that our sins have been dealt with, that we're now clothed in his righteousness, that our sins have been blotted out forever. Lord, we come before thee. And we are so thankful even for the invitation to come boldly into thy throne room and to come boldly into thy presence and to lay our petitions at thy feet. And O God, truly it is with the word of God upon our hearts that we come before thee. Lord, we are poor and needy, and yet we rejoice that the Lord thinketh upon us. And Lord, it is our earnest desire in these days that thou wilt come and make thyself known once again. Lord, as we look around and as we go from place to place, Lord, in these days we see much heartache and we see much sadness and, Lord, much difficulty and many trials even upon many families. Lord, even once again this night we think of those that are connected with our own congregation. And Lord, those, O God, even from our denomination as well that need thy prayers in these days. Lord, we do remember each one and we do pray for them and we think even as well of our sister Hazel. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt touch her. Lord, even now in the hospital, we just ask that thy presence will be with her. We do pray that, O God, that that wisdom and that help will be given to the medical professionals as they care for her. Lord, that thou wilt remember as well her dear husband and the family circle. Lord, we realize in these days hospital visitation and all of those things have been, Lord, greatly reduced and even prohibited at this time. And yet we rejoice that the Lord can still enter into the wards. And the Lord can still show himself and even have that presence there to be felt by his people. Lord, we do remember her this night. We remember William as well. Lord, we are thankful for that touch even thus far. But yet, O God, we long for that spiritual touch. We long, O God, that thou wilt meet him at the very point of his spiritual need this night. That thou wilt save his precious soul. Lord, do remember others. We think of, Lord, those in these days that we have been remembering. We do continue as well to remember Dr. Wilson, Lord, that thou wilt be near to him. O Lord, watch over thy child and even these tests that have been ongoing and the tests that are planned for the future, O Lord. May there be even successful in showing what is the cause and, Lord, may there be a cure for the needs at this time. And even soon may we hear the good news that our brothers restored to health and able once again to take up the ministry there in Castle Derg. O Lord, we look in days of great sorrow, we look in days of great hardship, and we realize, Lord, that we cannot put our trust or our confidence in any man, but rather we look unto the hills from whence cometh our help, and our help cometh from the Lord. And Lord, we do look to thee in these days, that thou wilt come and rule and overrule. And Lord, that thou wilt intervene in this land. Lord, there is no answer, there is no remedy from the world. But rather the remedies and the cures for all things are found in the Lord. He has promised, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And then I will heal their land. O God, we turn to thee. Lord, we cannot turn to any other. Lord, we just pray that thou wilt work and, Lord, do a great and mighty work in these days. Lord, do remember us this evening. We're thankful even for the opportunity to have our brother, Mr. Maxwell, with us. We're thankful, O God, for thy hand upon him, even over many years of service for thee. Lord, both in the south and the north, and even as things have greatly changed over this pandemic time, and yet he has still had those opportunities to preach the gospel in the open air. We're thankful for it. Lord, we pray that thou wilt continue to bless him. Remember his dear wife. Remember the family as well. Lord, we just commit them into thy hands. We pray that thou wilt bless them. Lord, bless thy servant as he will come even now to minister to us. Lord, and to bring us this report. O Lord, we just hand him completely into thy hands. We pray that thou wilt fill him afresh with thy spirit, that he will be God's messenger even tonight to the people, that he will be even that Barnabas to God's people and bringing that word of encouragement to them of how the Lord is blessing and how the Lord is working. O Father, undertake for us. Glorify thy Son in everything that is done and said. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it is a joy to have with us this evening our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell. He's certainly no stranger to the people here in Six Mile Cross, and we're thankful he's been able to come. And he's going to now just come to the pulpit above me, and he's going to, first of all, minister in God's Word, and then there will be an update from him, and then a video presentation as well afterwards. So we'll hand over to Mr. Maxwell at this time.
Okay, thank you very much, Reverend Ormerod. It's good to be here tonight. Normally I say good to be here with you, but I'm not able to say that in any physical sense. But we're glad that through technology we are able to share with you the word of the Lord and bring a little report and an updated report of the work of the Lord. I'm sure you have your Bible in your hand, and if so, can you turn please to John chapter 11, the 11th chapter of John. And it's a big long chapter, so I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read verses 1 to 16. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity of coming along and engaging in a deputation meeting. John chapter 11, it's a very familiar portion of God's word. Let's commence our reading at the verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the dark, in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. And after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And no doubt God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Verse 16 is where we want to give a little bit of thought tonight. That'll be a long message and a deputation message. It's the words of Thomas here, and he says, Let us go that we may die with him. It'll come as no surprise to you to see that these words were spoken in a spirit of skepticism and in a spirit of doubt. And the speaker, as we have identified, is no less than the man that we know and refer to as Doubting Thomas, a name that he earned for himself, especially after he refused to believe the report by eyewitnesses, his fellow apostles, that the Lord Jesus was risen again from the dead. Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, he said, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. But in the passage here in John chapter 11, you'll notice there from what we have read how he sides with those apostles who feared for the life of the Lord Jesus should he go to Bethany. We read there in verse 8, the concern of the disciples. They say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and are you going to go back there again? But seeing the Saviour was determined to go, Thomas resigns himself to accompany him unto what he believed would be certain death. And of course we know the whole story. It's one of the most dramatic stories in the whole of the Word of God. They did go, and amazingly, not only did no one die, but there was one actually raised again from the dead, and that was Lazarus, to whom the Lord had gone and raised him from the dead. Now, before we judge Thomas too harshly, we need to remember, of course, that we all make statements with attitudes that leave much to be desired. And isn't God gracious to take all that is good out of what we say? We tend to stumble along, don't we? But God takes all that is good, and he forgives all that is not so good. And I think we should take tonight what is good from these words of Thomas and the things that he said. They're certainly not all bad words, and I believe we can gain something from them. I'll read those words to you again. Verse 16, let us also go that we may die with him. The first thing that we have, number one, is that Christ is calling his people to go. Christ is calling his people to go. We want to think of this tonight being a deputation meeting, therefore in a missionary context, which actually is not a million miles away from the original setting here. But think of the Great Commission. But think of it particularly as we have it in Mark's account. The word go is the first word in it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, we are to go to different places and bring the gospel to those who are dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and in sins. And when we preach the gospel, we're bearing witness to the power of God in raising sinners from spiritual death. Every child of God can say, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And we can also say, I once was dead in trespasses and in sins, but now I have been made alive. For the hour is coming, said the Lord Jesus, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That hour that is coming and now is. It's not a future resurrection in the sense of the end of the world. But he says, they that hear shall live. And when we go preaching the gospel, we're doing as the Lord Jesus said for us to go. And maybe your field of service is local and not foreign. You're not under any mission board. You're witnessing in your own area. And you found your niche. You're able to bear witness. Maybe in the Sunday school. Maybe in the open air. That's your field of service. Maybe you're a man or a woman for the old folks home or whatever. Well, still you have great authority, haven't you? The Lord is saying to you, go. Or it might be that there will be a call to full-time service and maybe into the foreign mission fields. Or maybe you are already part of the team in that you are one who prays and one who gives the much needed practical support. Or it may be that the Lord of the harvest, who has distinctly told us to pray that he would send forth laborers through even maybe this message or our messages, is going to be sending out you into the field. But it's very important that we at least make ourselves available. Not everybody is going to go, but nevertheless, We should leave ourselves available and say, if it be your will, Lord, then I am willing to go. So the Lord sends his people forth. And then we notice here, secondly, that those who do go enjoy the presence of Christ. And we have that again in the Great Commission, not so much in Mark's account, but in Matthew's account. We actually have that promise there. Lo, he says, the word lo there just means look. It's just a shortened form of look. We say, lo and behold, look and see. Lo, he says, I am with you. Now that is a general promise, of course, that is made to every last Christian. Every last child of God knows the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But it is also a specific promise to the missionary, because we have it here in the Great Commission. And indeed, anyone that is involved in Christian activity and Christian work, spreading the gospel, surely the cry of everyone is going to be that of Moses when he said to the Lord, if thy presence go not with me, then carry me not up hence. He didn't want to go in his own strength. He wanted the Lord to be with him. And that's a very simple reason for that. It's because without the Lord, without me, he says, ye can do nothing. We cannot convert souls. Yes, we could stand and give out tracts, give out leaflets. We could maybe have persuasive ways of getting them into the hands of people, persuading them to read them. We might have all that. But we always remember that the conversion of the soul is of the Lord. We cannot build a church. Only the Lord could do that. And so often we sing that hymn, do we not, when we're able to meet together. How true it is, thou must save, and thou alone. So those that go have the presence of Christ. We see thirdly, and we're moving on quickly here, that it might be a dangerous or a deadly work which the Lord commands us to go to. And it was certainly looked that way to Thomas and the disciples. They could remember being chased out of Judea, the Jews of late. So it wasn't that long ago, the dust still hadn't settled. The Jews of late were going to stone thee there. This wasn't a little bit of an argy-bargy, a little bit of disagreement, the raising of a few voices, a bit of pushing and shoving. No, our Lord had escaped for his life. And therefore to go back so soon, as far as Thomas was concerned, was going to be a very deadly thing to do. Let us go that we also may die with him. And God's work proved to be, not in this incident here, but a deadly work to the apostles. We have Stephen, not maybe an apostle, but nevertheless one of the apostolic band, when he bore witness to Christ, he was taken out and stoned. You may think of James, who was taken by Herod. You think of Paul, who ultimately was slain. And tradition, again, for what it's worth, tells us that they were all martyred except for John, who died in exile. Tradition tells us that Thomas himself was martyred in India. And the history of the church has always proved that the work of evangelism can be a deadly work. You think of the Lollards, the followers of Wycliffe, men who wrote out the scriptures and took them to the people, were often burned at the stake with the scriptures hanging round their necks. It was certainly deadly for William Tyndale, the morning star of the Reformation, the five martyred bishops in the days of Bloody Mary. And it is still so in many parts of the world today. I was reading recently about a Christian institute in India, and they taught their evangelists to keep a bag ready at the back door, so that if people came to kill them at the front door, then they could escape out of the back and they could get away. The first graduate of that institute in India was martyred 6 weeks after his graduation. He went to the villages, we are told, and he preached the gospel, and he was murdered. And I read these words in the report. It wasn't unexpected, but he went anyway. He loved not his life unto his death. And I suppose the ultimate issue here, something that we can only really answer in our own hearts, before the Lord is, are we ready? Are we prepared, if called upon, even to lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember what Paul said when he knew, or he felt he was going to certain death, and they tried to keep him back, and they pleaded with him? The tears of those men, Paul said, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound, not only to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." It can be, without doubt, a deadly work. And then fourthly and lastly, should we ever pay the ultimate price, the Lord will be with us. I think it's interesting that Thomas did not merely say, "Well, let us go and die for him." But he says, "Let us go and die with him." We talk about witnessing for the Lord. The word, the original word for witness in the New Testament, "He shall be witnesses unto me," and so on, is the same word where we get our word martyr. It's the ultimate witness for the faith. To say, "I would rather die than give up my faith in this great doctrine." And perhaps overall, not many missionaries do pay the ultimate price. But many, some do. And maybe in the light of prophecy, when perilous times will come, more and more will give their lives. But even if so, it is an immediate entrance into glory and the promise of the martyr's crown. For the Lord said in Revelation 2 verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." In closing, not one of us know what a day will bring forth. I think we're very aware of that in these recent months. But we know this. This is our great hope, isn't it? That God is in sovereign control of all things and everything. The Bible says there is a time and a season, and there is also a purpose. God working all things out after his own counsel, and also for our good. And we need to trust him more and more. Do we trust him enough just to simply, as the hymn writer says, leave ourselves afresh on the altar for God and say, "Thy will be done"? The words of the hymn writer are always potent words. He said, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, oh, let them flow in ceaseless praise." Always remember, child of God, God can do more with your life than what you ever can. So that's just a few thoughts for us this evening. And I trust the Lord will use them to encourage us and also to be of a blessing to you. As I say, I'm glad to be here with you tonight. I appreciate the opportunity of coming along. I enjoy deputation meetings because it is a great opportunity to thank the people who have been supporting to us over now many, many years. We're 33 years under the mission board, and the Lord has met every need through the generosity of God's people. Normally when I bring a little report, I say the work divides into two. I talk about the summer work and I also talk about the winter work. But we'll have a new division, and this of course now was the pre-COVID work, and now the work, not even post-COVID, the work during the COVID. So we'll have the pre-March 2020 situation, and then what has been happening since. Well, pre-COVID, as we'll pick up on the video, you'll see various ministries in which we were engaged. I'm going to mention now just a little bit that the video that we're watching is just slightly dated, and there's been some changes. You'll see reference, for example, to the radio work. Well, it's now gone, of course. It was taken from us all. But nevertheless, the work, there's other parts of the video that are most relevant, but most of these ministries are now suspended. And that's because, of course, we are in lockdown, suspended until better days. But you'll see what work had been done, and God willing, when the better days come, but hopefully we'll be able to take up the plough again and seek to get back to some normality. But we lost out because of COVID on a lot of the various shows. We missed out in Balmoral Show, the Enniskillen Show, the ploughing championships, all suspended. The Breaky Prayer Meeting, you'll see it, and also the opportunity to engage in some missions around the border area. They have all been suspended, and we're praying for better days again. We did have to go into lockdown. We were furloughed over the springtime because we were in lockdown. But when the summer came in, as you know, there was a lifting of many of the restrictions. The COVID backed off a bit because of the heat. And we were able to get back to some of our places. We were able to go back down to Dublin again and engage in open-air preaching. We meet up with some of the folk down there and preach in O'Connell Street. You'll see that on the video. We're also able to go back to Knock Shrine. And we had a good time at Knock Shrine this year. I feel it was one of our best years at it. It was also affected by the COVID. They had to put off their 9 days of novena meetings, although people still turned up. And they were able to get witnessing to people, give them copies of the scriptures, and engage them in conversation. I noticed a new development this year. There were some groups running round Knock. They are still within the Roman Catholic Church, but they're very much old school, we might say right of centre, very militant people. And I was able to engage some of them. Now, invariably, as you would imagine, you're just going to end up getting into a debate and refight, if not quite the battle of the Boyne, and you're certainly going to refight the Reformation again. But still, an opportunity, even in controversy, to get the gospel in. And I was keeping a wee bit of an eye on them because, as I say, they're very, very militant people. And I thought, they're not going to be too happy. A Protestant sitting here right outside their golden shrine, as it were, and propagating the Reformed faith. But I got on reasonably well with them and was able to witness there. Now, there's been two new developments. Because of COVID, some doors are closed, our doors have opened. And one of the recent developments in the last few months is that I've been able to engage in open-air work here in Northern Ireland with our brother Noel Shields. Noel's work, as far as missions are concerned, is on hold as well. He can't get into the Orange Halls and the various halls and so on. So we have been going round together now for a number of months, up until Boxing Day, up until just before Christmas there, and doing open-air meetings in some of the big towns. We've been in Omagh, we've been in Cookstown, Lurgan, Portadown, Armagh, Belfast, Newtownard, and some of these other towns and villages as well. Some of the villages very quiet. But we just set up the open air, play a little bit of music, preach the word, and then we'll move on. Give out a few tracts, maybe speak to people if they're about, and then move on to another place. So that has been a little bit of a development. We want to remember Noel, by the way, because he's in a bit of pain at the moment. Aches and pains. Just throwing this in. Now that I've mentioned his name, please remember Noel. And then the mission board, at the beginning of the pandemic, back in March, they started a video series for young people with our children's missionaries. And they called it FPC Kids, and you can get it online on YouTube. It is for Key Stage 1 and 2, that's the primary schools. They wanted to develop this a little further for Key Stage 3, which is the young teenagers. And we've been asked to produce a number of videos, little messages. This is for school assemblies, maybe 7 or 8 minutes on. So we had our day down in Cumber Church. They have the green studio behind us where you can adapt it for the various things to put on. And we were down there. It's still at the moment in the editing stage, but it'll soon be going out. And these are little messages that we prepared for school assemblies. and an opportunity to bring the gospel, hopefully, to the young teenagers. So we're often reminded when we're given this account, God is in the heavens. That's where the Bible says he is. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he will. Now, unfortunately, tonight, I have to finish my little account here with what is really some bad news on a family front. 9 years ago, Olive, as many of you know, and Brett at the time, had breast cancer. And it was seen to at that time, and she went into remission. And the not so good news, humanly speaking, is that the cancer has come back again, and it is in her bones. And when the cancer goes into the bones, there is no cure for that. But there's been a new drug out in recent times that they're hoping to start her on. And the main issue for prayer in regards to this is that this drug, if you're able to take to this drug, it just simply slows it down. So we're still coming to terms with that. And it's now common knowledge around our churches, and I certainly would appreciate the prayers of God's people, because it's God who's in control of all these things. But there's a little verse that's come of late to us that we're pleading often in prayer. It says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Can I say, just before we go over to the video, we have the mission board prayer card for us, and it's also for covenant giving. And if the Lord lays it upon your heart to support us on a monthly covenant basis, well, then the card will be there. You can fill it in. I'm sure you know the drill by now, and you send it off to the mission board. But it's first and foremost a prayer card, and we need your prayers for the work of God and also in the family. So we're going to go over just in a moment or two, such as the wonder of modern technology. You'll see the DVD, as we say, just a little bit dated, but fundamentally it's there. It's the work in which we have been involved, and when this COVID gets lifted, hopefully get back to again. Once again, thank you for all your support, for your prayers, and the opportunity to speak tonight. So our brother will put the video on, please. Thank you. I have a lot of memories when I look back over 30 years and moving down to Cork, a very different Cork and a very different Ireland than what it is now. But the answer is still the gospel. And the worse it gets, the greater the need for the gospel to go forth. It's different now. I'm not in Cork anymore. For the last 8 years, we have been up in an itinerant ministry with the bus behind us here that the mission board very kindly supplied. You can't stay in the van in the winter. You'd be frozen out of it, to be honest. But we would I would stay closer to home in the winter months. I live in 5 mile town. We're 12 mile from the border, whereby you can go an hour up the road into Monaghan, Cavan, Donegal sometimes, help with giving out of calendars around the little work at Ross Nyla, and then I'm able to come back again. But it's invaluable in the summer, because I can, when I go down to Galway, I stay in the little van, and I'm away 3 nights, maybe 4 nights, and it really, I believe, pays for itself. We have some missions work in the Republic of Ireland, where I work with others. The Reverend Larry Power, who's now retired, Pastor Mullen, who's a retired Baptist pastor. I've been working around the border areas now, around Cavan and Leitrim and Monaghan, and we're able just to have maybe 5 nights of meetings, 2 weeks of meetings. When you have a gospel mission, you have to, of course, make it known to the people. You can run adverts in the paper and so on like that. But it's best to get out into the community that you're hoping to reach. Get good gospel literature, get good card advertising the meetings where they are, and hopefully, and it's getting very hard now, but hopefully get a conversation going on the doorstep. We see encouragements more from the fact that believers will come in who are sitting in dead churches, which they will freely admit to, and they are very encouraged through the just the faithful preaching of God's word.
Out of the mission, the first mission that we had in Breakey, outside Ballyborough, County Cavan, we've got a monthly prayer meeting going where believers will come in from a lot of different churches and we'll pray for the area, pray that God would move. We've been asked to do some missions in Northern Ireland and organise some of our own, again around the border areas. We need to remember that whether you live in Garrison or while you live over the border in the south of Ireland, God doesn't recognise borders in that sense. So we're trying to think ahead and trying to get community centres where people will come in on their home turf into where they're comfortable. And again, difficulty just getting people in. And you're just back to that same old thought. Protestant or Catholic, orange or green, man does not want the gospel. And he only wants it when the grace of God moves him to want it. I was asked 3 years ago if I would teach the junior secondary school in Clogher Valley, and I agreed to do so. And it was a challenge to me, but I was really pleased to have been asked. From this point of view, I was converted to Christ nearly 40 years ago through doing RE in school. I was doing it for the O-level stage at that time. I didn't want to do it, but circumstances led to me doing it. And through reading the Bible in school and a Christian teacher, I come to know the Lord as my Saviour. So 40 years on are the guts of it. I now have my own little RE class. So I go down on a Monday morning, take the assembly, which is important as well, and we have been covering different subjects. We've done John's Gospel, so we're doing Genesis this year, God willing, and really looking forward to that again. There's a number of ministers, and myself as a missionary in the West, there's about maybe 9 or 10 of us, and we're on a rota basis for the Q101 radio. So every 9 or 10 months comes round to my turn, and I look forward to that. It gives me a chance, actually, as a preacher, to preach a little series. And we send, just for Let the Bible Speak, a 12.5-minute message. And I'm able to edit it myself. The Ploughing Championship started in 1998. There were three of us went down, and we just met up at the place. Gordon Day had a big tent, which we slept in. And it was absolutely freezing at night, but the humour was absolutely brilliant. And we just went in with a box of tracks. And I had always an idea that we would keep this going. I didn't know how, but we'd keep it going. And we did. We went back again the next year with more tracks, other people came. We then worked our way up to having a little parasol and table. But we were now exhibitors, because they're not happy with you coming in and doing track work. But if you're an exhibitor, you get away with a whole lot. Then we made it up as far as a marquee. The marquee started off very basic, but we've worked our way up to where we are today. We're serving about 1,600 cups of tea. People coming in, a great literature table. We had a great contact, a fellow come in from Cork, a brilliant fellow that I knew, Jim Moriarty. And he come in on the last day, we were somewhere, and two boxes of calendars under his arms. And he says, Colum, he says, I have to go home now, I can't give these out, can your men give them out? And I said, Jim, leave them there, we'll give them out. It was about the last hour of the whole outreach. So some of the men took the boxes out and they come back, and all these boxes of, the two boxes of calendars were gone. People were queuing up to get them. So we decided the next year we would bring more calendars, and I think we brought about 3,000, and they went out very quickly. So we were on to something here. So the Reverend Crane, Reverend Jonathan Crane, he took the camera out and he took farming pictures, tractors and so on. And we made our own calendar after that. And now we're giving out over about 35,000 calendars every year. It is really encouraging to see the people coming in. There's been days when they've had over 120,000 people. They're not all going to come into our tent. They don't want to come into our tent. They might even know our tent is there. But nevertheless, there's thousands of people passing up and they're coming in. Some just come in and look. Some come in and get a cup of tea. The Ladies' Army in the Free Church makes buns and so on for us. And sometimes there's some tremendous, real good gospel chats in that place. The glory of the Ploughing Championship is that you're getting the farmers. This isn't Dublin, where it's an open air every single day. This isn't the big cities. These are farmers coming from the back of beyond. And they're being gathered together for us, and it's a great opportunity. And it's going to, I believe it's going to go from strength to strength. The Consider Christ campaign has been a great encouragement to me because this is organised really by others. I'm just part of the team. Consider Christ is when a lot of people from all over our different churches all come together, usually every 2 months, and they go into the towns, usually the bigger towns, and there's a lot of door-to-door evangelism goes on with the hope that we can have a follow-up meeting in a hotel. And out of those meetings, we've been in different places, but the work in Athlone, which is still very small, has its ups and downs, but it has come out of the Consider Christ. It's a great encouragement personally to me. Another important part of the outreach is to go down to Knock Shrine. Now, Knock Shrine isn't Kirkpatrick. Kirkpatrick's a mountain about 35 miles away, and the Catholics only go to it on Reek Sunday, which is the last Sunday in July. And I think this year's about 12,000 at it. And the reason why I don't go, although I have been, was because there's quite a number of evangelists go. They're actually tripping over one another. So, you know, I feel if I don't go, it's not going to make that much of a difference. But Knock Shrine, which is in County Mayo also, is a different ball game. It goes back to 1879, when 15 people reported seeing a vision of the Virgin Mary. The Church of Rome put them through a very rigorous interrogation about it. Their story mostly agreed one with another, as much as 15 people can tell the same story. But out of this sighting, the whole pilgrim started to come. And now in a little village that you would hardly take note of, there's a lot of little shops selling rosary beads and so on, and a big basilica, maybe possibly larger than the Martyrs Memorial. So it's very big. And they got the airport open up the road, Knock Airport, and the pilgrims fly in from all over the world to this place. So I would go there usually about every 2 or 3 weeks over the summer, and I'll go down in their novena, which is in August, around the 15th of August. This little van that I'm sitting in at the moment is fantastic for it, because I can put the van at the side of the road outside the shops. There's no parking restrictions, no money to pay, no double yellow lines, no 2 hours on and 2 hours off. I'm in there at 9:45. I have a little book display out there, just booklets. And I am able to sit in a little van, and people will come and they'll look in. The first question, is this Catholic? And I will say, it's Christian. I'm not going to get into an argument over denominations. So then I walk away and say, well, I'm Catholic, and they walk away, and that sort of, you know, says it all, doesn't it? But they'll ask maybe, well, what's the difference? What do you believe? And you're looking for questions, because the questions give rise to the answers, and the answers, well, the reason that lies within it, the apologia. And that's a great opportunity to get the gospel going. I enjoy going to Dublin. It's a different place entirely to Knock and even to Galway, which are more provincial, and Knock, of course, being a very devout and religious place. Dublin is a very secular place. I've never really run into any physical trouble in Dublin, although the fellow that I preach with, he has, but I haven't. I'll stand opposite the GPO. It's one of the great iconic places, of course. And I'll stand with this fella. He's down about 4 days a week. I really admire his consistency there. But I'd meet up with him maybe again for 3 days. And we'll stand and we'll preach, just preach the gospel, and people will come and talk, or they'll maybe take the literature that they're giving out. And again, maybe you meet up with other believers too. So certainly the Word of God's really been preached in Dublin, in the main street. And it's good just to be a wee part of that as well. People will not stop and listen so much, but they'll be standing maybe at the street corner. We preach at the junction there at the lights, so you have a captive audience, at least for a little while. In open-air preaching, you don't have an introduction and your preposition and 3 points. That's not going to happen. If somebody put to me, you're peppering the people going past. You're really just putting out Bible verses without wooden quotations from them. But you really do just have to have it. People, you have them for 20 seconds, 30 seconds maybe. The important thing to remember is that it's God's own work. It's not Colin Maxwell's work. It's not the Free Presbyterian work. It's God's work. It's God's word. We're very careful to try and keep the ministry scriptural so that God can bless it. And I need people to pray for the work of God. That's the important thing. Pray as the word goes out that the Lord would prepare hearts. It's important to pray that as we travel many miles around different parts of Ireland, it's a long way from 5 mile town to all these places, and perseverance, keeping at it and keeping the eye on the Lord, that it's His work.
Let me just say a word of thanks to your brother, Mr. Maxwell, for coming this evening, for opening God's Word and for bringing us that report. And certainly it's been encouragement to see even doors being opened in the work of the Lord at this time. And we do pray much, and we do, as he mentioned, we do encourage you to remember him and especially his dear wife at this time in your prayers, that the Lord would be gracious unto them. The Lord would give even that strength and that help at this time. As he did mention, can we just say the cards will be placed in your pews so that when the church is open once again, that card, that prayer card will be there on your pew to take with you and to put into a place in your house where you can keep a good eye and even bring it before the Lord on a daily and a continual basis. And can we mention as well just the deputation offering, as we mentioned on Sunday, if you'd like to contribute some money towards that offering. If you set it aside in a white envelope and just mark on the envelope for Colin Maxwell, and then when the church is open again, if you bring those offerings in, we'll be sure to send that straight on to the mission board for our brother. And if you're part of the tax covenant scheme, just add your number even onto the envelope as well, and that helps with the matters even in relation to the giving at this time. We're just going to close our meeting this evening in a word of prayer. And let me encourage you, even after the broadcast is finished, to spend some time in your own house, either alone or else even with your family, and do pray for our brother, Mr. Maxwell, and pray even over those prayer requests that he has brought this evening. And even pray in relation to COVID, and pray that in the days to come, even soon, that our brother will be able to recommence those works and those outreach efforts and all of the different stalls that he would have been involved in at the different championships, the ploughing matches, the farming markets, and those different activities that he was involved in. Do pray that those will soon be able to take place once again. We're just going to close in prayer. I want to thank you for joining us this evening, and we do pray that the Lord will continue to bless you and to be with you in these days, and we look forward even to being with you on Sunday morning. Let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee, O God, this night that the work that our brother is involved in, it is the work of the Lord. We thank thee that thou art the God who is over all things. Thou art the one who is in control of all things. We rejoice in this night. O God, that thou art the one who is upon the throne, and thou art the one who rules and overrules in accordance with thy divine will. We thank thee, O God, even in days when doors have been closed, yet other doors have opened. We do pray much in these days, even for the outreach and the social side of things and the online ministries that are taking place. We think of those assemblies and those recordings that our brother has been doing. Lord, we do pray that they will be a blessing and will be even used to the honour and to the glory of King Jesus, that young people will be reached with the gospel and brought to saving faith in Christ. We do as well think of the open airs that our brother was involved in as well. We pray for them. That word, that seed that has been sown, O God, that thou wilt yet bring forth much fruit from it, that there will be those contacts, there will be those souls that are desirous even to hear more of Christ, desirous, O God, even to turn from their wicked ways and to put their faith and trust in our Saviour. Lord, we do think as well of our sister Olive. Yes. Lord, be near to her in these days and bless her. Lord, we ask thee that this treatment, even as she commences it, it will be profitable even to her that her body will accept it, O Lord, and it will even in the days that lie ahead give her even that strength, and Lord, that thou wilt undertake for her at this time. We do rejoice that thou art the one who is the chief surgeon. Thou art the one who God, who knows and who formed the body. And Lord, we just pray that thy hand will be upon her for good. And Lord, we do trust thy word, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. Lord, bless our brother, bless his family, and bless in the days that lie ahead. Remember our congregation as well. O Lord, undertake in all things, we pray thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.